the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program, broadcasting to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. We've got a big story to talk about today. I published an article on my website at albertmohler.com entitled, It's Getting Dangerous Out There, A Preacher is Arrested in Britain. A British pastor has been arrested for, now get this, saying in public that homosexuality is a sin. This is one of those stories that we have seen coming for a long time. There have been threats of arrest. There have been people who have been arrested for different kinds of things, such as carrying signs. One pastor arrested in a European country, but charges were dropped. We've had people cited across the border to the north in Canada for billboards and things like that. But now we have a pastor arrested for preaching and for saying in public that homosexuality is a sin. It took place in Cumbria in the Lake District of England, and it's a big story. It's getting some attention in the international press, and for good reason. This arrest is more than a news event. It's a signal of things to come and an announcement of a new public reality. This man was street preaching, and as he was preaching, he ended up in a debate with a woman. In the course of that debate, he mentioned the fact that the Bible clearly teaches that homosexuality is a sin. He was later accosted by a police officer who identified himself as openly homosexual. And as the one responsible for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender liaison affairs for the police department there. And he had the man arrested for saying that homosexuality is a sin. Arrested under the public order laws there in Great Britain, which disallows speech that is abusive. And thus, this police officer said it was abusive merely to say that homosexuality is a sin. Now, I wrote about this at my website at albertmohler.com. You'll want to look at my article. You'll want to follow the article back to the original news report in The Telegraph, one of Britain's major newspapers. I give you also a link there at my website to the law in Great Britain. We'll be talking about that and what it means. And we're going to have a very special guest coming up in the next segment. Mike Judge is head of communications at the Christian Institute, which is the organization in Great Britain that is right now defending this pastor against the charge of violating public order by saying that homosexuality is a sin. We will turn to that in just a few minutes, a conversation I think that will be historic for all the reasons we have feared. There is a constriction and a closing in the public space, and especially when it comes to telling the truth, and especially when the truth is one that concerns a Christian understanding of sexuality in general and homosexuality in particular. Folks, we're very, very thankful that there's been an arrest in the attempted terror attack there in New York City. And even as we're most thankful that the attack did not happen in terms of an effective detonation of a car bomb in Times Square, and even as now we are thankful that there's been an arrest, of course, at this point it's just an arrest, but there's a pretty good a sense of security and confidence on the part of law enforcement officials in New York City that they have arrested the man just before he escaped the country on an airplane. You know, one of the things I wrote about as I sent out a tweet earlier today is this, you know, our human desire, that intense desire for justice, is a reminder of two things. Number one, that we are made in the image of God. You know, that sense of justice isn't just some kind of artifact of evolution, the way the naturalistic, you know, folks would have us to believe. The evolutionists would say it's just a learned behavior, a value that that aided the evolutionary process and the survival of a surviving and thriving species. No, we understand as Christians that our understanding of justice is, first of all, a testimony of the fact that we are made in God's image, and secondly, that justice is indeed established by God and God alone. How do we know what justice is? How would we know? Well, we know because we are made in God's image, and there is a hunger and a thirst for justice in the human heart that is understandable only on that basis. The terror attacks that took place in November 2008 in Mumbai, formerly known as Bombay in India, led yesterday to a guilty verdict against the one surviving terrorist, a 22-year-old man who was arrested and was found guilty. We are now told, with reports coming to Mumbai, he could face the death penalty at his sentencing, which will take place next Tuesday or today. The press report's coming out of India are a bit confusing as to whether that's today or next Tuesday. It is really interesting. 86 charges, of course. This led to the death of 166 people, this attack. And the people of India, rightly, and I would even say righteously, are demanding the prosecution of the one surviving terrorist. But the reality is, let's remember one other fact of justice that we as Christians understand. We are denied ultimate justice. How do you take one man and put him in the dock, put him in the witness stand, and ask him to account for 166 deaths? It's impossible. There's no way human justice can reach to an equitable settlement of that evil deed. Nonetheless, we have to do the very best that is within our human power. But again, that's another reminder that injustice cries out not just for our response of justice, human justice, an approximated justice, but for the justice that only God can bring. Another interesting news story, by the way, Craigslist, the internet billboard and classified ad service, has been subpoenaed over sex ads. Just in the last couple of weeks, big news stories have come out about this, indicating that Craigslist has become a major mechanism whereby child prostitutes are brought into the United States, child sex trafficking, as well as the larger industry of prostitution. And now you have Connecticut's Attorney General issuing a subpoena, and I'm reading it from the Reuters news report, to investigate whether the popular online classified ad service is doing enough to fight prostitution and whether it may be profiting from prostitution. The private company could be earning $36 million or more a year from prostitution and human trafficking, said Richard Blumenthal, the Connecticut Attorney General. Very, very interesting. By the way, most of the ads on Craigslist are free except for jobs, New York apartments through brokers, and sex and therapeutic services. So now you have the Attorney General of Connecticut identifying Craigslist as having a, quote, brothel business, which, according to the Attorney General, is booming. You know, folks, what a reminder this is of human depravity. And as these things come up from time to time, human sinfulness, we realize, you know, whether it's the New York governor in a scandal involving a prostitute, you know, just in the last couple of years, or other, you know, eruptions in the media that bring this issue to our attention, it's just a reminder that human beings will do the most extraordinary things in terms of sin, sexual sin in particular, and prostitution as example A, the leading example of this. And what we have, of course, here is the reality that where there is a human sinful desire, there is generally no shortage of vendors to provide goods and services of that evil type. And in this case, that's exactly what's going on. There is a market in prostitution, a massive market, $36 million just from classified ads at this site alone. What does that tell you about human nature? Of course, we don't just need to look at Craigslist to understand sin in all of its forms. All we have to do is look in the mirror. And sometimes news reports like this are, in effect, a mirror held up to human nature. It was 40 years ago today that four students were killed, shot by the National Guard on the campus of Kent State University. And that event changed the nation. It certainly shaped a generation. It was in the midst of an anti-war clash, although it turned out that about two of the students, half of them who were shot and died, actually weren't involved in the protest at all. It is a very sad moment in American history. Sad on just about every count. These young people who were killed 40 years ago would now be nearing retirement age. Instead, they died on May the 4th, 1970, just a few days, that is, after Richard Nixon widened the war in the Indonesian area, in Indochina, by invading Cambodia, that is Indochina. It's a very, very sad reminder that four decades later, America still has not healed from all these wounds, even though the majority of Americans alive today weren't alive when this happened. It's another reminder to us as well that many of the pathologies, the patterns of thinking and life that we are concerned about now in the year 2010 are directly traceable to events earlier in our history, such as the decade of the 60s. And that includes, by the way, the year 1970. The decade of the 60s and the tumult that was brought with the hippie revolution, the anti-war revolution, a sense of rebellion of children and a younger generation against their parents and grandparents. A sense, indeed, a drive on the part of many in the culture for a rebellion against established norms and order. And what we had, of course, was an unrest that led to the level that the National Guard had to be called out on American college and university campuses. It's a very different country now. We're living in a very different time. But we need to remember these anniversaries because they are reminders that as much as history may be behind us, we are never without the shaping influence of the events that took place. If not before we are arriving at today, then perhaps even before we were born. We're going to come back to talk about an event that I believe we're going to look back to as one of tremendous significance, the arrest of a Christian pastor in Great Britain merely for saying in public that homosexuality is a sin. We're going to talk about what this signals and what it means when we come right back with the Albert Mueller Program. Well, we've seen this coming for some time now. The rise of a culture that is openly hostile to Christian truth, and in particular to any Christian statement about the sinfulness of homosexuality. We have seen this coming, and we have seen the public space constricting. That's true just about everywhere. In Europe, we've certainly seen it, even in current debates going on in the European Union. We have certainly seen it in Canada. And the logic of it is certainly becoming more and more entrenched in American law schools and indeed perhaps in some courts, now in Great Britain as well. And the event I wrote about at my website at albertmueller.com today, an article entitled "It's Getting Dangerous Out There, a Preacher is Arrested in Britain," is one of those that I think is a wake-up call. It's a signal of where we stand, and it's also a sign, I fear, of things to come. The actual case is fascinating. And as much as I've written about it and linked to news reports that are found in the British press, in particular The Telegraph, I'm glad to say we have on the program today someone who's even better equipped to tell us what's going on here. Mike Judge is the head of communications at the Christian Institute, which is a British organization that defends religious liberty and stands up for Christianity in the public sphere. And Mike Judge is with us today, even as the Christian Institute is at this point representing this pastor who has been arrested, and they're in a position to tell us what's going on. I especially appreciate the fact that Mike Judge is talking to us now when it is late night in Great Britain. Mr. Judge, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Oh, thank you, and you're welcome. It's never too late to talk about gospel liberty.
Well, absolutely, and that cause in Great Britain is the cause of all believers everywhere. And this is just a story that I really have seen coming for some time, but the particulars of this case seem, well, particularly simple. Could you just tell us what happened here?
Yes, a man named Del McAlpine was sharing the gospel in a street in a town called Workington in Cumbria. This is a rural place. This is not a huge metropolis. This is a small rural town. He's sharing the gospel, and he's speaking with a passerby, and the police overhear his conversation and take exception to the fact that he's quoting from 1 Corinthians 6 and warn him that if he says that homosexuality is a sin, it's a crime. Now, the police are wrong about that. They misunderstand the law completely, but nevertheless, they arrested Dale McAlpine.
And he is still as charged with this crime, right, under the Public Order Act?
That's right. Under Section 5 of Britain's Public Order Act, they have charged him. He has appeared in court, and he has pleaded not guilty, and a criminal trial is on the way. And it's astonishing that in a country of Wesley, where freedom of speech was built upon street preaching, that this should be happening.
Well, as a matter of fact, I wrote in my article published this morning about street preaching in Great Britain. It's had a long and illustrious history. And, you know, those of us who love the United Kingdom, as I do, and love London, one of the things I love to do is go to Speaker's Corner there in Hyde Park and remember that that used to be more or less the norm all over England in terms of public preaching and public speaking.
Absolutely. And this is where England's freedom of speech laws have come from, the freedom of people of faith to be able to stand up in a public place and to preach from God's word and to preach about the truth. And freedom of speech is not just about freedom for the individual to stand up and speak, but it's also the freedom for the public to listen and hear the gospel.
You know, the most amazing part of the news report in The Telegraph to me, as I read it, Mr. Judge, is where the Telegraph reporter explains that he was arrested because he was speaking loudly enough to be heard by others. I think that's the whole point of communication, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in actual fact, he, on this occasion, he never did preach publicly against homosexuality. He was preaching against a drunkenness on this occasion. But when a passerby engaged him in conversation, he made reference to 1 Corinthians 6, which those of us who know our Bibles know that it lists a whole list of sins. And because a police officer overheard that conversation, decided that that it was against the law, and eventually Mr. McAlpine was arrested. He spent 7 hours in public cells, and he was charged with a crime. And I think anyone who cares about civil liberty should be deeply concerned about what happened.
Well, you know, absolutely. And so why isn't there a larger outcry? Why isn't there an army of those willing to demand that that Pastor McAlpine be released?
Well, you know, we're right in the middle of a national election here in Britain, and not one of the party leaders has dared to speak about this. I mean, here we have freedom of speech in the balance, and yet our party leaders are not speaking to this issue. There has been an outcry amongst certain conservative commentators, and even some homosexual activists are concerned that this has gone too far and there'll be a backlash now against them, and they've stood up and said the police action is too severe. So there has been something of a backlash, and I would say to your listeners that freedom of speech is still legal in Britain. The police have got the law wrong, and that's why it's important that there's a good professional legal team that can defend Mr. McAlpine.
Absolutely, and we're not casting stones at Britain at this point, because the logic that was employed by this arresting police officer and by presumably the magistrate who allowed the charges to stand, that's becoming more and more a part of life in modern Western cultures, where homosexuality is becoming a protected issue, just considered out of bounds for any public discussion, unless you're just going to affirm it.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, Britain and America share the same legal heritage, the same Christian heritage. And if it can happen in England, it can certainly happen in the United States. And I think that Christians across the Atlantic need to be aware of these things and need to be aware that our liberty to share the gospel is in jeopardy. Because, frankly, if you can't explain these things on a public street, the next place that the police will come is your church pulpit.
Well, absolutely, because there is no distinction in terms of the place where something is said, except an arbitrary distinction. Eventually, it just means that this kind of speech is rendered illegal. Now, Mr. Judge, I want to ask you a question. I know that the political situation is, of course, a part of the context here. I was a bit surprised, as closely as I try to follow events in Great Britain, I was a bit surprised to find out that both the Labour Party and the Liberal Democratic Party had really pressed for a removal of exemption language that supposedly offers protection for Christians to speak to these issues in public.
Absolutely. Now, Mr. McAlpine was arrested under the Public Order Act, but there is a separate hate speech law that covers sexual orientation. Now, we at the Christian Institute were able to campaign successfully in Parliament for a free speech protection that makes it clear that expressing disapproval of same-sex conduct and urging people to refrain from that conduct should not be considered in and of itself a crime, and Parliament agreed with that and passed that. But the Labour government and the Liberal Democrats both tried to vote so that safeguard should be repealed, and the Conservative government allowed its politicians to have a free vote on the issue. But there really ought to be a stronger line from all three parties in favour of retaining free speech.
Absolutely. Mr. Judge, can you tell me more about the Christian Institute and how people can find out more about your organization and frankly, follow this case?
Well, the Christian Institute is a charity that helps Christians stand up for themselves in the public sphere. Britain is becoming an increasingly aggressive secular nation that's sidelining Christians out of public life, and the Christian Institute is here to help Christians stand in a very wise but a very firm way, and we also offer legal assistance to Christians who've been discriminated against. And anyone that wants to follow this particular case can follow it closely on christian.org.uk, where they can also learn more about the work of the Christian Institute.
Mike Judge is the head of communications at the Christian Institute. I really appreciate you coming on, especially late at night there in Great Britain. I appreciate the urgency that led you to do that, and you shared it very well with our listening audience. We'll discuss this when we come back to join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This story of the arrest of a preacher in the United Kingdom, in England, is one that ought to have the attention of every single Christian, wherever Christians are found, because this is a sign of things to come. And what we are seeing here is a constriction of the public space. We are seeing a thinning out of religious liberty. Because if you can't say in public that homosexuality is a sin, there is no such thing as religious liberty. There is no such thing as religious freedom. And it is very easy to think, well, this is something that took place in Great Britain. I don't have to worry about it here. We're in the United States of America. We have a First Amendment. We have guarantees about free speech. We have guarantees about religious liberty. But when you consider the fact that England is indeed a nation that has honored in its own way those same freedoms, you can understand that what we see right now in this country and in Great Britain and in Canada and in much of Europe is a direct collision between the reality of religious liberty and the reality of modern political correctness. And what's happened here in the case of this preacher arrested in Great Britain is that Great Britain has a public order law that says that you can't use abusive language. And this man was arrested merely for saying that homosexuality is a sin. In other words, an arresting police officer and a presiding magistrate agreed that the simple statement that homosexuality is a sin is illegal and abusive language. He's arrested. He spent, I think we heard, 7 hours in jail and is still charged and is to be tried. Absolutely ominous. Of course, I have to wonder how many preachers are in any danger of being arrested for telling the truth in this way. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I'd love to hear from you. Do you think most preachers are going to be willing to go to jail if that's what it takes to be clear about what the Bible teaches? Do you think that maybe you would advise preachers, well, let's just stay away from these issues? Obviously, they are volatile. If you speak to them, you are vulnerable. And perhaps there are those who would even counsel. In fact, I know because I've read their arguments that would counsel what the Christian church needs to do is just back off of these issues in order to have space to talk about the gospel. Well, let's talk for a moment, though, about what's involved in that. And again, I'd love to hear from you right now. Call me at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I want you to think about this with me. If indeed, and remember, by the way, that this man was not arrested in Great Britain under a specific law that has to do with sexual orientation issues. He was arrested in the Public Order Act. It was considered abusive language for him to say that homosexuality is a sin. Well, how about this? How about saying that if you do not come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to hell? Not perhaps the first thing that you would say to someone in an evangelistic conversation, but that's at least fairly said. An essential component of our understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what about someone saying that's abusive language? Well, what about it not saying that homosexuality is a sin? What about saying that adultery is a sin? What about saying that lying is a sin? You see, where the logic of this has no ending. That there is no place where this ends except in the absolute crash of conviction and the absolute abdication of religious liberty, the total loss of religious freedom. And I think this story is huge. And I have avoided bringing on this radio program or writing about at my blog issues that appear to be questionable in terms of whether they really represent the collision of principle. But in this case, there is no question. That's why it was so good to have Mr. Judge of the Christian Institute on. Mike Judge was so clear. The issue in this case is simple and straightforward. The man simply said that homosexuality is a sin, and he was arrested for it. Just point blank. That's all there is to it. There's no accusation that he was doing anything else or saying anything else that led to his arrest. That was the sole count. That was the sole cause. And he spent hours in jail after being hauled off by three uniformed police officers in what they used to call a paddy wagon, a police vehicle. And, you know, you're talking about chilling effect. Just imagine the chilling effect this has. Just imagine what happens if this stands, if this man is convicted. There was a case in Sweden, I believe it was, where Ake Green, a pastor, was arrested for saying something similar in his church, but those charges were dropped. There have been people in the United Kingdom and in Canada have been sanctioned for certain printed messages. Those are bad enough. Now, this was just a simple statement that homosexuality is a sin. You know, the part of the report in The Telegraph, the British newspaper, that caught my attention, just encapsulating the insanity of all of this, is where we are told he was arrested because he was speaking in a voice loud enough for others to hear. I think that's what's called communication. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We have callers on the line. You can be next. We'll be right back with Intelligent Christian Conversation at the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Tim's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Tim.
Dr. Mueller, I was just calling in to let you know that I travel around with a singing gospel group, so I'm in a number of different denominations, and I've been told what I can or can't say from up there, the topics of songs that we can sing about from... We don't discuss the blood in some churches. We don't discuss the cross. We don't discuss the resurrection. I'm just dumbfounded sometimes. I'm even told how I can address the pastor or the shepherd or the whatever his title is, and that, you know, if they're willing to compromise on the truth of the Bible, why not? Are they not going to be able to compromise on what topics they're going to talk about for homosexuality?
Yeah, Tim, that is one of the most depressing things I've heard in a very long time, and yet I know it's true because I hear this kind of report, and frankly, I've run into it myself in so many different places. I don't get invited to speak a lot of places because they know what I'll talk about, and they don't want those things talked about. And when you say, for instance, you have churches tell you, you know, if you're going to come here, don't sing about the resurrection. Well, I mean, let's face it. They're not a church. They may be a religious organization, but the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is established upon his death, burial, and resurrection, period. And upon the whole counsel of God in God's word. And that is just so depressing, but it's no longer shocking. And the reality is that there is no shortage of pastors and Christian leaders, so-called, who will simply decide, well, let's just pull in and not talk about these things. Let's just avoid talking about them. And the cost of that, of course, is that you're not talking about the gospel. Let's be clear. The main message of Christianity is not that homosexuality is a sin. That is not our main message. And it wasn't the main message of Dale McAlpine as he was preaching there in Cumbria in England and got arrested. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is central, and the simple message is Jesus saves. But, of course, Jesus saves from what? He saves us from our sins. And how do we know that we're sinners? It's because we commit sins. And what are those sins that tell us we need a Savior? Well, the Bible lists them, lest we not understand. You know, earlier in the program, we were talking about the fact that religious liberty comes down to the ability to talk about sin, because you can't talk about the gospel without talking about sin. You know, Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, I'm so thankful the law told me that I was a coveter, named it, told me, you know, put it there in black and white so I could see it. Didn't just say you're a sinner, said this is what sin looks like. Covetousness, okay? I'm nailed. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. The same thing is what Paul's doing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in Romans chapter 1 when he gives entire lists of sins. And by the way, 1 Corinthians 6 is exactly where Pastor Dale McAlpine was preaching when he got himself arrested. And I'm afraid, to come back on Tim's point, there are a lot of churches that would say, well, we don't want a pastor that has any danger of getting arrested talking about things that are in the Bible that are dangerous, controversial, saving. All right, let's go to Michael calling from Orlando, Florida, listening on WHIM. What do you think, Michael?
Yes, I agree 100% with your last caller. It seems like the problem is more of the church than it is the government. I think it's an absolute blessing and act of God's sovereignty that this man is arrested. And the question I have is, why aren't more Christians being arrested? And in this country, we don't really provoke our government because we're more interested in, you know, keeping our 501c status and not losing that and threatening that, even if it means, having churches that, you know, endorse homosexuality silently by having them as board members and worship leaders and such and pastors.
Okay, help me out here, Michael. Where would you want American churches to speak to the regime? In other words, what are American churches not doing you think they ought to be doing?
Well, we speak not through just voting, certainly our voting, but if we don't speak by our own lifestyles, if our lifestyles contradict our message, if we say thou shalt not while we do it, then it really is a contradiction to the state, and we lose any voice because there's no authenticity in our words.
Well, no question about that. No question about that. I think, however, if we had the police right now, who were going to come in North America, in the United States of America, to arrest pastors who were telling the truth, the biblical truth about homosexuality, I think the jails will be filled. I fear, however, and obviously we've got a lot of liberal churches that aren't preaching the gospel. We've got a lot of equivocating churches that are unclear about everything, including sin. No doubt. Thousands of them. But there are still a lot of gospel preachers in this country. There's still a lot of Christians, pastors or otherwise, who will stand very clearly upon the word of God. But what we have here is a signal of the kind of intimidation that is coming. And we're going to find out who the real preachers are, Tim. Michael, we're going to find out who the real preachers are. We're going to find out who the real churches are. We're going to find out where the real believers are, because they're going to be the ones who will not bend the knee. They're going to be the ones who are willing, if necessary, to be arrested. And as you said, to lose 501c3 status or tax exemption, to lose jobs, to lose club memberships, to lose awards and the approbation of a secular culture, because the price of that's just going to be too high. Thanks for your call, Michael. Let's go to Ken, listening on WTBN in Tampa, Florida. What do you think, Ken?
Well, thank you for the call, Dr. Mola. I'm down here on business travel, and I didn't even know that your show even existed on, and I just was flipping through the AM dial, and I picked it up, and I decided to call in. I agree with everything that is being said right now. My biggest concern is not only is it really happening in Great Britain and Canada, as you mentioned, and we've seen what can happen across the border, but during the Prop 8 issue in California, there were several pastors that had their sermons and actually even their sermon notes that were collected by the police because they spoke out in favor of marriage being between one man and one woman. So I'm going to make the case that it is already beginning to happen in this country.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a chilling effect on the pulpits. And like you just said to the other caller, we're going to find out who the real Christians are and who the real believers in the Bible-preaching churches are going to be, because the days of sitting in the pew and just coming there for a handshake on Sunday, those days are going to go away real quickly.
Yeah, and Ken, I just want to amplify something you said there, talking about Proposition 8 in California, as you're no doubt aware, because I can tell you're up on this issue. The case before the U.S. Supreme Court just in recent days was whether or not those who sign all the petitions to have put Proposition 8 on the ballot there in California, whether all their names are going to be released. And that's for a clear purpose of intimidation and perhaps even worse. But I'll tell you, we're going to find out again if that happens, whose names are on it. We're going to find out whose names were not on those petitions. And I, for one, if those petitions are made public, I'd sure want my name on it. Ken, I'm glad you found the program. You're listening on our great station down there in Tampa, WTBN. Folks, to join the conversation, give me a call at 877-893-8255. We have just a little bit of time left, but on this important issue, we're going to take this all the way to the end. You'll find my article entitled, It's Getting Dangerous Out There, A Preacher is Arrested in Britain, at Albert Mohler, that's MOHLER.com. Follow the links to the original articles and, just for your interest, the actual text of the public order law there in the kingdom, the United Kingdom. Back in just a moment on the Albert Mohler Program. We're going to go to Gilly calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Gilly, go right ahead.
Well, I appreciate this topic also, Dr. Mohler. I've listened to your comments, and many just have just said in advance of what I would comment. My big concern is really for myself. I would hope and pray I'd be brave enough, and that my convictions are well established. I don't want to pull a Peter, and when push comes to shove, I would be fearful. So how else is God going to purify his church if not from within? And many of us sitting in pews think we would be bold enough to stand with other Christians, but
Well, I think there are many people who are probably hearing it the same way you are, and that is with the hope against hope that if indeed we found ourselves in a similar situation, we'd get ourselves arrested. You know, let me tell you, one I think really fascinating part of this story has to do with the conversation that Pastor Dale McAlpine had with the arresting officer. The arresting officer heard him say, not to the officer and not in the midst of his sermon, but in a conversation with the woman who had come up to debate him there in public. He referred to the fact the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. This police officer went up and identified himself to Dale McAlpine and said that he is openly gay and that he is, I want to read this carefully, the liaison officer, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender liaison officer for the local police department. And Dale McAlpine's response was, it's still a sin. Now, you know, I just love the elegant simplicity of the conviction there, that elegant simplicity of saying, that's interesting, but it's still a sin. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your title is. It doesn't matter what your liaison responsibility is. The Bible says that it's a sin. And the elegant simplicity of that, I would say a gospel simplicity of that, is so very important. I come back here at the end of the program to say, again, that the issue is religious liberty. And if religious liberty can be taken away of this one preacher in this one small town in Cumbria in England, they can be taken away from any preacher anywhere. And this is not the only issue worldwide on which, of course, religious liberty is very much at stake. But in the modern industrialized West, in Europe and in North America, this is the issue that is becoming the noose tightening around the pulpit. And this is a wake-up call. This arrest of Pastor Dale McAlpine in the United Kingdom is a wake-up call for all of us. The issue, of course, is the freedom of Christians, whether preacher or not, to bear witness to the gospel and to speak openly and indeed publicly of what we know that the Bible tells us. Now, the other side of that is not just a matter of political correctness. It's a matter of abdicating the gospel, the one thing the authentic Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can never do. Back tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday. We'll see you then on the Albert Miller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.